You know, this is the time of year, right, that's marked by resolutions, right? By setting goals for the upcoming year, you know, and perhaps some of you have done some of that, and if you've done so, I applaud you in that, especially if you've done so in the area of your spiritual life. You've taken some time between the holidays, slowed down a little bit, and said, boy, this is what I think I want, I need to work on, what I'd love to see happen, what I'm seeking and asking God for in 2016. You know, and if you've done that, you really stand on, I think, very solid biblical grounds. You know, there are several occasions in the Gospels where Jesus salutes, affirms, at least, if you will, gives some endorsement to the idea of spiritual ambition. You know, one time was when the disciples were chatting among themselves about who was the greatest as they were making their way to Jerusalem, right? And he said, well, what were you guys talking about? And they kind of got all sheepish and that kind of thing. And which one of us is the most important, you know, kind of idea. And he responds to them and he says, if anyone among you wishes to be great, he must be the servant of all. He doesn't condemn the desire to be great. He just redefines it and redirects it. The same thing happened when John and James came to Jesus just before the last week of his life in the Gospel of Matthew, the 20th chapter. They come in, and their mom comes in and says, you know what? We don't know exactly what's happening, but we know the big moment's arrived, and when the time comes, we want the right and the left. We want the positions that show that we're the most important, that we're the most successful. And Jesus said, you know what? I don't know if you really know what you're asking for. And then afterwards, he said, but you know what? If anyone wishes to be great, he must become the servant of all. And I think Jesus affirms this idea of setting spiritual goals, of desiring to be a spiritual success. But if you're like me, your past experience has kind of told you that setting resolutions, establishing goals, somewhere along the line, they just kind of get crushed, don't they? So we don't really kind of get up for that quite as much. You know, we set a goal and you know, a little, sometimes by the middle of January, it's history, you know, or by the end of January or whatever. And a lot of things happen, and we stop making resolutions. We stop setting goals because they only remind us that we're not going to achieve them in the first place. And so we quit before we start. And I want to offer you a few things this morning that might encourage you to go ahead and set some spiritual goals and actually find some ways to maintain those as you go forward. And you know, I've entitled this sermon, Achieving Spiritual Success. And I really do want to affirm you and me in taking the time to slow down, think about our spiritual lives, set some spiritual goals, and actually pursue those, to desire to be great, but to do so in a way that's pleasing and honoring and gives glory to the Lord. But a lot of us, we back off because we know that, well, you know, all this is going to do is land up being something we don't really follow through for on. And it's just going to make us feel bad and guilty and et cetera. And so I want to, again, offer a few things for you to think about today. And I'm really going to keep this simple. You know, and this is what in my preaching class they would have called a multi-passage text, which really means I'm going to run you around the Bible a lot. So I'd love for you to grab one of the pew Bibles if you're not real familiar with your own and that kind of stuff. I'm going to point us to several different things. And what I really would classify this passage, this sermon, much more along the lines of spiritual counsel. You know, it's not so much going into a single text, explaining all the various pieces, pulling out parts, and then making the application, which is what we generally try to do here at Hope Chapel, because my desire, as you walk out the door on a typical Sunday morning, is for you to understand more fully what it is that God has said to you. But there is a time and a place for us to back up and draw out some principles that we can use that can inform all of that conversation. And so a lot of what I want to do today is give you some food for thought to prompt your spiritual dialogue with God about how and what spiritual goals you're going to set for the upcoming year. And here's the first thought I want to give you to think about. That beginning, setting a goal and going after it, beginning always starts with leaving. Now think about this for a minute, all right? Beginning always starts with leaving or leaving something behind. This is a motif that has been in God's activity, the way God works. Theologians would use the word God's economy. The way God works, his ways, has always involved leaving in order to go through. To go to something means that you have to move away from something to get there. And that motif starts way back in the book of Genesis. And if you look at Genesis chapter 12, you see the beginning of this motif. Page 9, if you're using one of our pew Bibles. So it's very early on. This is still in a period of time when Abraham's name is still Abram, right? And he has traveled with his family, his dad's side of the family. They've traveled to Haran, and they've moved up there from Ur of the Chaldees, and they've come. And the Lord speaks to Abraham. And look how the motif starts. Going after the spiritual goal of the land that God's going to show him, look how it starts. It says, go out from your land. Go out from your relatives and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. In other words, I will make you spiritually successful, to use our terminology today. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And he goes on through the passage. But notice that the journey to something had to involve leaving from something. This is not a new concept to us in the New Testament days. What was the message that John the Baptist began preaching? He steps out into the limelight as the forerunner of the Christ, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The New Testament's version of go out from your land, go out from your father's house, to go out from your relatives to the land that I will show you, the New Testament uses the word repentance for that. It means to turn away from something and to turn to something. A lot of the times you and I struggle with setting spiritual goals, goals in general, and fulfilling them. One of the biggest reasons is because we need leave nothing behind. We just want to pile more stuff on, right? But particularly what I want to focus on this morning for us, and there's probably lots of great thought in that idea of what is it that's in my life that I need to kind of get rid of because it's just not productive, it's not helpful, it's not taking me anywhere, right? Some of the things we may want to turn off are our phones. So, just tease it. I can deal with it. One of these days, it's going to be my phone. So, which I try to leave in my office most of the time, so it can't help it happen to me. In all seriousness, you know, in order for you and I to move forward in God's plan for our lives, there are parts of our lives that we have to leave behind. And the Bible calls those repentance. Your journey of experiencing spiritual success, my journey of experiencing spiritual success, of actually getting to a place where we are great in the kingdom, means that we have to leave some stuff behind. And particularly, I think it's the things that we know that we need to repent of. So one of my challenges to you, and I want to actually give you a moment to reflect. Some of you are going to grab your bulletins, and you're going to use the note spot on the back of your bulletins. Others of you, you brought paper with you. Some of you are going to pull out your phones, and you're going to get your color notes out or whatever. But every single one of us in this moment, I think the Holy Spirit brings this stuff to us very quickly. We know of a behavior or a habit that is just not spiritually beneficial, and we know we need to get rid of it. And we need to go out from that. We need to leave it behind. We need to repent of it. Some of us are in that place. Others of us, we know we have a relationship. Maybe it's an acquaintance or a friendship, and every time we connect with them, we just go backwards spiritually. And sometimes we just understand, you know what, we just need, if your right hand causes you to sin against you, you know, you just need to cut it off and let it go. And you just say, you know, I need to end this relationship. It's just not conducive to me. Obviously, some of our relationships, we can't do that too. We shouldn't do that too. With family or with spouses or with maybe with people we work with or whatever. And in those, we need to truly repent of the way in which we contribute to the dynamic that makes it spiritually hurtful. rather than productive. Others of us, we're carrying some pain with us. We got some hurt, right? And rather than allowing God to heal us and to grow through it, we've let that hurt master us. And it's centered into bitterness or into anger or, you know, that kind of thing. Lots of different ways. And we just need to say, you know what, I'm going to jettison that. I'm going to repent of it and leave it behind. You and I, in order to step forward in God's kingdom, we have to confess that which we need to leave behind and make the choice to do so. So I want to give you just a moment. Actually, you know, we don't do this very often in Hope Chapel. We're just going to have a moment, several moments of just quiet. And I want to invite you to just bow your heads. Say, you know, Lord, show it is to me the thing or the things that I need to leave behind. And just make sure you make some kind of a note of that. Mentally, physically, on your phone or whatever, just make a note and bring it before the Lord in the future. I'll give you just a few minutes to think before the Lord. What habit, what emotion do you need to leave behind? What relationship do you need to change? What pain or hurt do you need to let God heal? Your Father, the psalmist wrote about allowing you to search us and to try us and to see if there be any wicked way in us. Father, we give you that freedom this morning. And God, we do so with the specific intent of repenting, of confessing it, leaving it behind. So God, we seek your forgiveness this morning for the ways in which we have sinned against you. We embrace your forgiveness. We understand it's been removed as far as the east is from the west, and you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we seek to begin anew in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that's not heavy enough for you, I got a couple of other things. Listen, I don't know if I can overstress the importance of what we've just talked about. When you and I are just trying to pile more stuff on, fill more stuff in, and somehow or another we think if we just stuff more Bible stuff in us, it's going to heal. It doesn't work that way. We have to make a conscious choice to go before the Lord, seek his forgiveness, repent of it, and move on. And that is the way that the truth sets us free. My second point. This one's a little harder to communicate, at least for me. I'm going to use this kind of language for you. I encourage you to use a compass rather than a map in seeking spiritual success. Now, let me say that again. I encourage you to use a compass rather than a map in seeking spiritual success. I really want to say I encourage you to find a lighthouse or a wayward point and focus on that rather than all of the other pieces. You know, in my journey, I've had a little bit of an opportunity, not a lot, a little bit of an opportunity to do some offshore boating, you know, where you take a boat out 10, 15, 20 miles offshore. You run down the coast, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles, that kind of thing. It's a long way, and it's really interesting that when you're trying to head somewhere, like you're trying to come back in, you know, you can kind of get the compass reading kind of about where you need to go. But as you're moving along, you know, there's lobster buoys to be, you know, to go around. There's debris that's floating. There's other boats that are coming, and you're changing your course. And then, you know, you can, if you were leaving a crumb trail on your GPS system, you'd see you're kind of going like this, you know, trying to head to where you're going. You're just wandering everywhere. And so one of the tricks that was taught to me was get your compass heading, pick out an object on shore, even if it's 30 or 40 miles away, and just focus on that. Just keep heading towards that thing. And so you focus more on a compass. A lot of us, we'd much rather work with a map. I'm going to, you know, we've given you a small piece of it. We hope you'll embrace it in a different spirit, but a Bible reading plan. This is what I'm going to do, right? You know, I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to share my faith more. And those are all wonderful things, but they are only the means to the end. They are not the destination. The destination is for all of us to grow into the fullness of Christ, to truly be successful. And as God's Spirit fills us, we learn how to really be the servants of all, most particularly the servant of God. And we'd rather focus on the doing stuff. And it's actually the doing stuff that gets lost in all of the weeds of the course of a year, right? So part of what I would encourage you to do is not so much focus on the particulars you're going to do, but focus on the big picture so that when you really can get your head above and look down the horizon, you can get yourself reoriented where you go. When that lobster pot buoy pops up and you're going to dart to the right or to the left, when you get your head back up and look, you say, I'm headed for that building, or I'm headed for this lighthouse or whatever, and you know where you're going. I can see a few blank stares, right? So let me try to maybe bring this out just a little bit more. And I don't blame you. It's a little bit, you know. So, again, some of us, my spiritual goal is I want to read the Bible through this year, or I'm going to read it chronologically, or I'm going to memorize the book of Romans or something, you know. We come up with some big, hairy, audacious goal for our Bible reading. Or we decide, you know what, for the first time in my life, I'm going to journal every single day what God's doing. Not a bad thing, especially if it's a prayer journal. Good stuff. Somebody say, you know, I haven't shared my faith in 6 years, but I'm going to share it 6 times a week now, you know, and we set these big goals. None of that's bad, right? But somewhere along the line, we're just like, man, I'm not doing that. I'm way behind. I'm never going to catch up, you know. And it just kind of all falls apart, you know. And I think sometimes it is far more helpful for us to focus on the stuff that drive us towards the being of being a child of God, rather than the doings that we hope will transform the being of being a child of God. Now, we still have to do a lot of the same kinds of things, but our motivation, our focus, our drive is totally different. Let me give you a couple. One of those is in Matthew chapter 22. I'd love for you to, these are just a few suggestions because I think the Lord will bring a particular passage or scripture to mind for you to use in this journey. But for me, let me just give you a few examples, right? Matthew chapter 22, the text is on page 836 in our pew Bibles. Jesus is asked a question, and he was asked the same question in several different places in different formats, but he said, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And this was Jesus' response in verse 37 of chapter 22 of Matthew's gospel. He said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. What a great passage of scripture, and it's a theme that comes all the way from, you know, the book of Deuteronomy, literally get us all the way through the scriptures and really continues to apply to us in great force today. Here's my thought for you today. Rather than focusing on, well, did I get my 2.5 chapters read today and this and that, which is not a bad thing, is to have as your compass point is, what did I do today to love God more fully than I did yesterday? What did I do today? What did I do this week to love my neighbor as myself? not necessarily a dictated set of actions that you've pre-described on January 1st of 2016 you're going to try to live out, but you've got this guiding point way out on the horizon, this peak on the top of a mountain, and even as you're darting trees and crossing rivers and doing this and all the stuff that's going to come up in the course of the year, when you have those times where you can get your eyes out and look, you ask yourself the question, how am I loving God with all my strength? How am I loving God with all my mind? How am I loving God with all my heart? What can I do differently to move forward? How can I love my neighbor as myself? And sometimes the activities through the course of a year will change as God changes your circumstances and opportunities, but you have this guiding beacon that you can always focus in on and ask yourself. Another one, a little earlier in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about worry and whether we're going to have enough to eat and what we're going to wear and can we afford to retire and all kinds of other stuff. And what does he simply say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So your compass point, on a daily basis, weekly basis, however you want to process your journey of seeking these goals, is in what way today am I seeking the kingdom of God first? What adjustments do I need to make to my life to be seeking the kingdom of God first? Again, it's that beacon, that waypoint, that peak of the mountain that can give you direction as you're moving forward. Not just all the individual trees, but it's the overarching guiding kind of thing. Use a compass point, not a map. Let me give you one more. Luke chapter 9, the 23rd verse. Luke chapter 9, the 23rd verse. Let me give you a page number. Passage of scripture that's familiar to many of us. It's right after Peter's confession of faith of Christ, and there's a little bit more in-depth teaching about what's going to come and that kind of stuff. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, if anyone wants to come with me, come after me, he said he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Your compass point, that peak of the mountain that can govern your movement across the plain, through the forest, all that kind of stuff is, in what way am I denying myself? What way am I taking up my cross? And in what steps have I taken in following after Christ? Again, it's not a map. It's not all the detailed specifics. Go 100 feet, turn right, you know, like our GPSs now, right? In a half mile, turn right, you know, and then it's in 100 yards, turn right. Turn right now, you know. A lot of us drive it. I don't know if that really works for us spiritually, because this is about things that drive us into who we are as the children of God. So my encouragement to you, my spiritual counsel, is all those wonderful spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible study and confession and fellowship and, you know, sharing our faith, all these wonderful pieces that fit into it, use all of them as part of your arsenal to pursue that waypoint, that compass point that God's laid on your heart for 2016. You could probably come up with 150 great passages in the scripture that you could use. Just let God pull one out, apply it to your heart, and use it as a guiding light, a lighthouse that you're always seeking after in 2016. I got one last point for you. And this, again, this is certainly not the language I learned in seminary, but one of the things I tell you in the spiritual journey is check your vital statistics. Check your vitals. You know, isn't it all the rage today that you monitor your heart rate? You know, like when you're running or walking or doing some kind of a workout or whatever, you know, you're supposed to be between like 138 and 144 beats per minute, you know? So you go a little faster, then you slow down a little bit. You try to keep it right in that range, right? Some of you have been there. You got the straps you put around your chest, you know, makes you feel like you're a real world-class athlete, you know? I'm not mocking all that stuff because it has value. So sometimes, though, I think there's a really important spiritual vital, if you will, for us to check in our journey of seeking goals. And here it is. You and I need to keep our fingers on the pulse of our tolerance for change. The biggest thing that will derail us in pursuing after God is the fact that we just lose our appetite for change. And listen, my friends, the gospel is about change. The good news of Christ in us, that we have this relationship based with God, based upon what Christ did on the cross, not what we do to somehow impress him, that this relationship of grace, this kingdom of God that's been brought to us in Jesus Christ, is countercultural. And it involves change. You know, it's just different. It's a whole different mindset. It just drives us to change, you know. And symptomatic things like, blessed are those who mourn. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Turning the other cheek, right? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the list could just kind of go on and on. There are many things about the gospel that are just counterintuitive. They're countercultural. It just doesn't make sense to give 10% to God and somehow have more with the 90% that's left. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? You know, and there's a lot, and being following after God involves change. And so Paul, as he wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 12, and I'd love for you to turn there and look at these couple of verses with me. Page 965 on your pew Bibles. Now, he spent 11 chapters. They weren't broken down into chapters and verses to the Romans, but he spent 11 chapters describing what God has done, what that means in relationship to the covenant that God had with Israel, how that's all going to work in terms of Israel responding, all that kind of stuff. And now he turns to the question of moving forward with this faith that now is within us. In verse 1, he says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I beg you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. He said, you know what? Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Last time I checked, transformation involves change. Anybody got an update on that? Has that changed? You know, and transformation's really kind of got a bad rap, right? Because we're re-engineering and transforming our company, which usually is just a synonym for that we're firing some people, right? You know, those kinds of ideas. But change is inherent in transformation. Paul put it a different way when he was writing to the Ephesians, and this is in Ephesians chapter 4, and you can make a reference to that, verses 22 and following down through. But he's been writing to them about what God has done for them in Christ, how God has brought the Gentiles into the family of God, how they are now full heirs, joint heirs with the Jews, with Christ, of all of God's kingdom. And he says, you know what? And with that, continually be putting off the old self and continually putting on the new self. That's change. And one of the things that will really help us in pursuing our spiritual goals for 2016, for any year, for any time, is keep asking ourselves the question, do I really have an appetite for change? Because when you and I get to a place where I don't want to change anymore, I got to tell you, no matter what I say from up here, no matter how many life groups you're in, no matter how much you read the Bible, you know, all kinds of, it's not going to create the fruit, the spiritual success in your life that God longs for. Because it is rooted in God constantly changing us, growing us, shaping us, transforming us into the image of his Son that he's planted within us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And being successful spiritually involves constant change. I think Henry Blackaby put it pretty succinctly when he said, you can't stay the same and go with God. You just can't. It's one of his spiritual principles, and I think it's dead on biblically. If you and I want to be successful in letting God shape our lives, shape our year, shape our destiny, our legacy, our eternity, we have to be open to change. Stay alert to how open to change you really are. You know, my heart in sharing this message today is I really want for you, and because you are Hope Chapel, what I really want for Hope Chapel as well is for 2016 to be marked by lots of spiritual victories. And whatever we do in leaving and repenting, whatever we do in establishing that compass point, whatever we do in keeping our hearts ready for change, may it all be done for the glory of God. Let's pray together as we... God, thank you that you are not done working in us. We find it intimidating. At times it's tremendously challenging. And dare may we even say, Lord, sometimes it's even tiring. But God, I'm grateful that you are at work. That you will never cease to work in the world or in us. And so, Father, we embrace challenge today of being successful in your eyes as Christ was, in whose name we pray. Amen.